It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Everyone, and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar. I am your host as always, and I'm joined this week to discuss the Scottish Cup semi-final when Rangers beat Hearts by 2-0 at Hampden by Colin McMillan. Hello there, Colin. How are you today?
Hi, David. I'm good. I'm a lot better after Sunday's match than I was the whole rest of the week, I've got to say. I'm glad to be talking to you after yesterday. Had you asked me to do this prior to yesterday, I might not have agreed as quickly as I did. But yeah, I'm okay, mate. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm like you. Miserable week, right? No point pretending otherwise. Started very badly up at Ross County, and then the mood was just, I was going to say enhanced, but it exploded even further, I think, after the Dundee game. And the Hearts game on paper, Colin, looked like a massive challenge, because obviously it's a semi-final. You see in the other semi-final that sides that you would maybe regularly expect to beat can turn up on the day, as Aberdeen did, because it's a semi-final, it's a neutral ground, you know, the Hearts had a big attendance there, and they're not a bad side at all. They've got some quality players in there, as we know, so it didn't look as though it was going to be a straightforward game, and certainly turned out to be a lot more comfortable than we might have thought. Now, of course, the big news before the game was no Connor Goldson. Been an ever-present in his time at Rangers. If he's been fit, he's been picked. Manager said that he had rested Connor. Thought he looked a little bit tired in the last few games. Don't think many would disagree that he certainly looked a bit off. But I do understand when he said Leon Balogun wasn't able to play Wednesday. He'd been ill. So fair enough, you don't do it then. He was going to do it then. But do you rest an ever-present player for a cup semi-final, a crucial must-win game? I think the manager might have been giving him a bit of an out there, but I think it was Ali McCoys who said on the commentary after a couple of minutes, he's been dropped. and a brave decision by the manager. Not brave in the sense that it was going to go down unpopularly with the fans, but he needs to manage dressing room egos and whatnot. But I think that ended up sending a pretty positive message round the squad, because let's face it, Connor Goldson's form has been such that he didn't deserve to be picked ahead of the two who started.
Yeah, I think it definitely was a message, not just to Connor Goldson, but I think a message to the squad en masse and to the support to say, listen, look, I'm here and I'm prepared to make changes if they need to happen. I'll make the tough calls and I'll do it. But you're right in what you say. We play teams four times a season in the league, David. We've got plenty of opportunities to give Conor Goldson a rest. To do it in a Scottish Cup semi-final is a message. It's definitely been done for that reason. It's one of the few games, you know, in this domestic season you look forward to as a player, I would imagine, are the Old Firm matches. You probably look forward to matches at Hampden and finals, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
He's missed out on one of those, so he won't be happy at all. But maybe that's what he needs to do, to get his head back in the right place to kick on and finish the season better. We spoke after, I think it was after the Ross County game, about the way the team were playing and what we were watching. And we didn't suddenly become an awful team overnight that couldn't pass a ball. It wasn't an ability thing right off the bat. I don't think it was more of a mentality. It was more of a mental thing for the players for some reason. They seemed to struggle and they never recovered against Dundee. And I was really concerned going into this weekend, because with a thing like that, that's a thing that can fester and it's a thing that doesn't tend to fix itself overnight or after a couple of training sessions. But whatever the manager's done, whatever the conversations he's had and his actions, I guess, have led to what you have to admit was a big jump yesterday. It still wasn't perfect, but it was miles away from what we watched in the previous two games. And I think you need to give the manager kudos to however he did that, and also to the players, I guess, for responding to it. And as always, the fans for being there for every bit of it and playing their part in it too.
Yeah, I think mentality is the key thing. For me with Goldson, it wasn't that he was just playing badly. He looked done in mentally. His confidence had gone. As yeah. one wag put it last week, he wasn't even blaming people when he made an error, you know, and that isn't like him. But I do think sometimes for any player, just saying, right, you're not playing at the weekend, get your head right, you know, work on training, let's get the confidence built back up a bit, I think can be a bit a benefit. I think sometimes you need that, because no player is going to say, if you say to him, do you want to play at the weekend, he's going to say, no, don't pick me. And there would be more concerns, I think, about a player who did do that. I think that there are times for a person's own good. You say, you sit this one out, just sit on the bench, you're there if we need you, you'll be back. But I think today we're going to go with something else. And Leon Balogun came in and played very well. I thought he started the game quite comfortably and played with a sort of level of calmness that hasn't been in the defence, and I think that sort of spread throughout the defence. The other big return to the team, Ravi Matondo came in, but the other big return to the team was Mohamed Diamande, been out for a couple of games. And I think that you really did see yesterday and in the two games that he wasn't there, just quite the impact that he's made in a short space of time. The midfield just looks so much more fluid because you have that guy who's willing to take the ball in a tight space. And against Dundee in particular, Colin, because nobody was, it meant that Rangers were reduced to playing that safe, sterile, dull football. There has to be a bit of risk and reward, particularly against a team like Hearts who press. Now, I don't think we were brilliant yesterday, anywhere near it. I think we were fine. And I think we did more than enough to win the game. I thought we were very deserved winners. But I think that at least you saw that the team was prepared to try, and we'll talk about the goals and that indicates that as well, try to make things happen as opposed to a kind of fearful, don't give me the ball here, there's a guy on me. Instead, Diamandi came and said, give me the ball here and I'm going to beat this guy and turn him. And that, I think, created much more space and freedom and just gave a little bit more verve to what had been, let's face it, in Dundee, an incredibly flat performance.
Yeah, it's incredible the difference one person in that midfield can make. There's somebody that's prepared to do those things. And I think I compared Diamandi quite a bit to Stephen Davis sometimes, David, in that when he's on the ball, he's actually thinking maybe 2-3 moves ahead. He's thinking about where he can move that ball to, then where he can get to, what he can do next. Whereas the last couple of games, we watched a bunch of players in midfield who got the ball and then got rid of it as quickly as they could, usually back the way. He seems to have a football brain, and that's what sets you apart in this country. I think that's what really makes the top midfielders that come here stand out. It's not just about the ability and what they do with the ball, it's what they think about and what they plan, and then how they actually implement it afterwards. And he just made a huge, huge difference. It's only us that could have a guy like him that's doing so well, and then we lose him for two what were turned out to be really important games so far in this season with a sore thumb. I don't want to belittle his injury. I bet it wasn't pleasant, but to lose somebody with a thumb is disappointing at this stage of the season. But if he's in a cast, he's in a cast.
And, yeah, couldn't play.
He came back and made an absolute difference. And so did Leon Balogun, who absolutely came out of the cold. He's not had a sniff for ages and ages and ages. And you would never have thought it, especially since he was sick during the week for virus, by all accounts. He's shrugged that off. He came in yesterday. He was strong. He was strong in the tackle. He led the defence. He's just dependable. He's exactly what Leon Balogun was in the 55 season, why we all love him. And he just kind of, I don't want to say roll the clock back, it's a bit of a cliche, but he didn't look like a guy who has hardly played any football, hasn't been near the first 11. He just came in seamlessly and played exceptionally well. And he was a big part of the win yesterday, I think, having that solid at the back to then build on going forward.
I think in a side where the mentality was an issue, and you could tell it was, it's all right players saying things in an interview, but the performances that we saw, and again, particularly the was a team that was playing within themselves because they were frightened to do the risky things. Bringing in somebody like Balogun, who is just a very, very laid-back guy, very calm, under pressure, that helps because I think that can spread throughout the team. Bringing in Diamandi, as I say, who plays in that way, where it's, give me the ball, I'm quite happy to take it if you're in a bit of bother. The Davis comparison, they're different types of players, but I get it because Davis was very good at, if a teammate was in a tight spot, offering himself, yeah, you know, for a more difficult pass, offering himself for a more
progress, a forward pass, not the turnaround and knock it back to the centre half of the goalie. And we really did miss that in the last couple of matches. So I think that both of them coming in and providing a little bit in terms of just, I'm here, I'm calm, right, calm, I've got it, we're fine, no need to panic. And then somebody who was there to make a difference in tight situations really helped. And of course, hugely, the start. And it wasn't simply getting the early goal. That's great. It really was. And we'll talk about it in a second. It was more for me about the fact that Rangers were front foot. We were moving the ball forward. We were trying things. Again, all of this was devoid from Wednesday night. And I think that it probably took Hearts a little bit by surprise, Colm, watching the highlights back. People were saying, the commentators were saying, oh, I thought Hearts would start on the front foot. I think Hearts thought they would start on the front foot. And I actually think the fact that we didn't go out and look tepid and frightened and actually went out and played with a little bit of verve, a little bit of, dare I say it, swagger in that opening 15, 20 minutes, I actually think took a lot of the wind out of their sails, because it wasn't, given the week, given the narrative, what they were expecting to see either. So I was actually quite impressed with us in that opening portion of the game.
Yeah, I was as well, because you could tell they were coming into it kind of smelling blood, weren't they? They were they were mouthing in the papers, their manager was at it and all that sort of stuff, and they thought they were probably playing us at the very best time. So yeah, they would have come into it right up for it. But you're right, almost just from kickoff, we played like a different side to the ones that played earlier in the week. We are trying to control things, we were wanting the ball, we were trying to do things with it, and we were pushing. And it just makes such a difference. And not only does that then galvanise us, it deflates them a little bit as well, doesn't it? Because they've then got to totally change the game plan, don't they?
It's just not what you were expecting to face. And that, again, is in their mentality. And we took the lead with a really splendid goal. James Tavernier gets fouled. McLean wasn't going to give it. That was the first of a running theme in the game, I felt yesterday. If a Hearts player went down to buy a foul, he would let them. If a Rangers player did the same, he wouldn't. Now, I'm all in favour, by the way, of referees clamping down on people going down to buy a cheap free kick and letting the game flow. I really am, but do it fairly. But Tav responded. He didn't just lie there and complain, something we are guilty of, by the way. I think Hearts were guilty of it. I think they almost stopped waiting to see if a free kick would be given. But Tav then knocked the ball through to Todd Cantwell, who had a good game. He plays the ball through to Cyril Dessers. He's got a lot to do, though. There's defenders in front of him. Beautiful switch to take the ball away from a Hearts player. Cuts it back, and then first-time finish, unerring. It is a cliche, but it's true. He's better when he doesn't have time to think about things, when it's reactive. And you see that. You actually have more faith in him to do something there than you do if he'd maybe been put clean through.
Yeah, or when he's got a defender to actually beat. He's capable of doing that. It's when he's on his own with just the keeper and he sees the whites of the keeper's eyes, he seems to struggle, or he seems to struggle to get the shot away, which we saw a couple of times yesterday. But yeah, to be fair to him, he did great with this. He did great with setting himself up and then getting the shot away. It was a great finish, and it was just a great goal and a great start to the game. I actually gave the referee a bit of credit from my vantage point, because I thought he played the advantage, but I've since seen it, I know he didn't. But I was praising that, to say that's really good refereeing, him playing advantage there and letting us get on with that attack. But no, it wasn't. It was just awful refereeing, which is par for the course. But yeah, kudos to Tav for keeping playing, keeping the ball moving. Todd Cantwell for creating it, and then Cyril for putting it away. He did okay yesterday, Cyril. He took his goals well. He had other chances that we'll probably talk about. But I think this is just what we're getting now with Cyril Dessers. He does the difficult things quite easy. His movement's really good. He takes a touch or two and it's usually okay. It's usually touch three, touch four, touch five when it goes awry, and it doesn't happen if he doesn't get the shot away quickly enough. But yesterday he scored his 18th and his 19th goals of the season, I think, which we've been crying out for a 20-goal-a-season striker for so long, with the exception of Alfredo, obviously. We've got this guy that's come in and done it. But he just, I think the thing with Cyril, David, is that he's going to go on, he's going to score 20 goals. I think he's definitely going to get at least one more goal between now and the end of the season. But I think everybody, rather than saying, oh, he's got his 20 goals, will say, he should have got his 40.
Well, that is the thing, though, about playing at a top team. I mean, I think 20 goals is light for a top Rangers striker, if I'm being honest. The amount of chances that we make, I think you should be scoring 30 goals playing for Rangers. You're right to say that people haven't been. But yeah. I still don't think the target should drop because of that. I think that it should be. He's such a difficult one, because where we're sitting today, we're feeling good, and you know we've got the win. And he did score the two goals, and he deserves credit for it. It was a good performance overall yesterday. And then you'll see some things where people come out and go, well, he starts, you know, and he's contributing and he's scoring goals, and then you think, yes. But then I remember sitting here last week after we played Ross County and he missed a sitter, 1-0 up, which obviously would have gave the game a completely different complexion. And that is the issue with Cyril. You can quote stats, you can quote the fact, and he does do well. And I don't want to sit and pound him today because it is unfair today to do it. My problem with Cyril Dessers is his reliability for a guy who costs £4.5 million, for a guy who's the number one striker, maybe through circumstance rather than design, because he obviously hasn't been, he's had to play a lot because we haven't had any other options. But I just think that I want someone a bit more reliable. To me, it's a bit like Sakala. He's a contributor, yes, but a top guy at Rangers, I honestly do think should be offering more, either in his all-round play or in his numbers. And that might be a little harsh, but I keep going back to it's the eye test, you know? And so, yeah, like I say, I don't want to sit here and be negative and beat up on him today and go, oh, well, what he doesn't do. But I do think that with Dessers, you get these extremes where he'll have a game like that and people will go, well, look, great, and list all the good stuff. And then he'll have a game like last Sunday and we go the other way. I think you need to look at the overall picture and make your decision on him. Put it this way, for me, I would like a different number nine leading the line for Rangers next season.
Yeah, I think we absolutely do need a different one next season. When it comes to Cyril Dessers, I've been the same as you. I've came off post-match shows, I've left Ibrox, and I've been praising him, saying he played really well today. I've come out of other matches cursing him. And it's that consistency thing. You don't know what you're going to get. And it's not even a case of you don't know what you're going to get from one game to the next with him. It's from one chance to the next with him at times. You don't know. But around about Christmas time, I kind of just consoled myself with the fact that after the transfer window closed, he is our number nine. He is all we've got. He is going to play the vast majority of games this season. So we just have to try and get behind him, which is why I've kind of strayed away from the kind of jeering him and slagging him off too much, because without him, there isn't anything else there. So we have to just get behind him, support him, because we need him until now and the end of the season. He's got a role to play. Hopefully he does it by scoring another couple of goals and getting his one cup, who knows, maybe a second one. But yeah, it needs to change in the summer. There's a long list of positions, David, that needs to change in the summer. But yeah, number nine is a huge one for me.
And then I thought Rangers, after about 20 minutes, Hearts came into the game. Their press was good. I don't think they caused Rangers too many problems. One wonder save from Jack Butland. I think it might have been ruled out for offside anyway, but even so, he didn't know that. And a brilliant stop. And then I think we were kind of keeping Hearts at arm's length without really creating an awful lot ourselves. Although I do think in the last 5 minutes of the half, Rangers rallied, forced a number of corners, might have added to our lead and sort of took command. But at the second, as the half ended, I think we were in a good position, but I didn't think Hearts would be tripping off saying this one's escaped us. And into the second half, I thought Rangers started it reasonably well. One of those decisions that I was complaining about when the referee says there was a push by Dessers on a Hearts defender when the ball was going out for a throw. Now, we see this all the time, and this is where I think referees do need to be consistent. Defender feels contact and goes down, and refs always give a free kick. I think that's cheap. I don't think it's really in the spirit of the game. To me, it would be a case of saying, look, you engineered that. That isn't a foul. Much in the same way as, you know, if you kick a defender in the box and claim that he kicked you when you instigate the contact. I think that's what that is. We had then taken a quick throw and Cantwell was clean in, and we were denied that. But you did get the impression at that point Colin Souter had a real shaky spell, 45 to about 65 in the second half. And you did get the impression then that the next goal here will probably be the winner. If we got it, it was done. If Hearts got one with the momentum swing, the mood that our fans might have been in, kind of fears from the last week crystallising, it could have been very awkward. But again, looking back, Hearts didn't create much. They did have a couple of, as I say, there was one where Souters came out, he ended up getting booked for it. I really don't think he was all there, although he did recover towards the end. I think his head went a wee bit for about 50 minutes, but it did come back, to be fair to him. But I just got the impression at that point this game could go either way, and it's really down to who strikes next.
Yeah, I was a little comfortable during the game. As soon as we got the first goal, I did feel okay. I think it was a combination of the fact that we were actually playing properly, we'd shown up, we'd got the early goal. It kind of did give me the confidence that I felt we were going to be all right from that point. But there was times when Hearts did get back into it and they had little half chances and opportunities, and those little half chances and opportunities are all it takes at that level. And that's why we always talk about the second goal and how important it is. And how many times have we sat watching Rangers waiting for the second goal, knowing over the years that sometimes one goal wasn't enough? So yeah, the second goal was always going to be mega important. And even though there was a couple of fears and a couple of half chances by Hearts, I think we did relatively well on the whole to keep them at bay and keep mostly of control of the game. Suter did have a couple of moments. I think the early part of the second half is what you called out. It was the same one for me, where he did just look a little bit shaky and wobbly. And that's kind of what he seems to do, David. I don't know what your thoughts are on Suter, but for me, he can play really well in matches, but he seems to have a mistake in him. And when he has that mistake, it more often than not leads to a goal. It's, I don't know if it's just unlucky with him.
It's unfortunate. That can happen to you, that your mistakes get highlighted more because they lead to something.
Yeah, which if you play at centre-half, that's part of the game, though. I suppose that's part of your role, isn't it?
It's like the goalkeeper.
Yeah, but he does seem to be, bless him, if something goes wrong in that defence, he seems to be in the middle of it more often than not. But listen, he pulled himself back together and we saw out the game. We didn't concede any goals and he got it back on track. He's playing with a different partner as well. I was a bit surprised that they didn't move him to the other side of the defence. Maybe they didn't want to mess up what he had been learning playing there, David Pryor, with Goldson.
Yeah, I think it might be a case of that. With Balogun, it was a case of we're making a change defensively, and that is, if you like, making two changes, so it's to limit that. I was a bit surprised as well. And as you say, it might just be a case of you've been playing there. I'm not sure that he's playing on the left and he's a right-sided player is as valid now after a year where he's been playing in that position. Dujon Sterling was at left back yesterday. Sometimes you just need to get on with it. That's where the position is. Absolutely. And the errors, I don't always think, come from that. They just come from a little bit of just bad decision making at times from Suter. That's the issue, that going to win a ball that isn't there to be won, for example, as we saw yesterday where he ends up getting booked. I think he does have skill. I think he's very good on the ball. I think he can be quite a commanding siege defender. It's just about decision making, and that is like a failure across the team, let's be honest, over the course of the season. That's something I think we could say about the side in general. I don't think it's specific to him. And to be fair, he did recover. I do want to give him that. I thought he came through it and ended the game pretty solidly. That was made a lot more straightforward for fans alike when Rangers got the second. What very good goal it was. Todd Cantwell, who was getting towards the Todd Cantwell that we want to see, bustling, busy, at the heart of things, making things happen, wanting the ball, drove forward, looked as though he was going to have a shot, but he timed his pass to Cyril Dessers really well. His shot saved by Craig Gordon, but a brilliant reaction. Again, just what we were talking about there. Ball comes back to him, cuts inside, and then the trademark Dessers nutmeg of a goalkeeper finish. And at that point, I must admit, Colin, I thought, right, we can start thinking about the final here.
Yes, I think we all did. I was up in the South Upper just above the goal when that happened, and at the time I was just thinking, this is all Cantwell, this goal's all down to Todd Cantwell, and that was kind of praise I was given at the time. But watching it back, Dessers actually does extremely well to still be there for the rebound and be alert and to put it away the second time. It'd been easy for, you know, to throw the eyes up to the sky sort of thing when the first one misses, but he didn't do that, and he put it away, which was excellent, really, really good goal. And at that point, there was absolutely no way back for Hearts at that point. We were able to start bringing on the subs, using the squad, and starting to think about the scramble for tickets, I suppose, for the final. Well, it's not really a scramble these days, is it, with my jersey? You kind of know where you are with it, but yeah. Tickets will still be a point of debate for the next few weeks anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, at least we're spared the should it be a 50-50 argument this time, as I think that's pretty clear what it's going to be. But in terms of the match itself, then, a couple of things to highlight just before the end. One, a truly extraordinary miss by Fabio Silva. Cyril Dessers does brilliantly and very unselfishly. I'll tell you something, I wouldn't have been passing it at that point. Right decision.
On a hat-trick in a semi-final.
No danger. On a hat-trick in a game of fives, Colin, I would not have been passing it. On a hat-trick in the back garden against my nephews, I would not have been passing it. So fair play to Cyril for doing it. And he just makes a howling arse of it. I mean, there's no getting away from it. I don't know if he's surprised that it's coming to him, maybe expecting Dessers to have the shot, doesn't adjust his feet, and then just sort of collapses over it. And it kind of summed up a pretty awful week he's had, Fabio Silva. You know, again, hopefully he'll deliver something in the next few weeks of the season and end on a high. But even though, let's face it, we couldn't afford them, Wolves are wanting $15 million for them. I don't think if they were wanting a tenth of that, you'd have many Rangers players suggesting we should pay that for them.
No, like
many Rangers fans, rather.
Yeah, I mean, watching them sometimes, you think $3.5 million would be a bit over the odds. Never mind $35 million that Wolves paid for him. He's shown in moments in games the obvious class that he does have. I can think of a couple of occasions where he's played well. He's managed minutes extremely well for us in games where he's had to do that as well. But playing out on the wing or when he gets his chances centrally, he just hasn't done enough for a guy that has that reputation or a guy that's coming from the EPL. When we get these EPL loans coming in, we probably do hold them to a higher standard. We expect them to come in and hit the ground running.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
But just, yeah, of course not, because it's the big league. They've managed to get there on merit. At least somebody's spent a lot of money on them. Coming up to Scotland, where the standard is low, out with us and out with our main rivals, really, they should come in and kind of stand out, and he really hasn't done that across the last 4 months or so since he came in. Still got a part to play, probably, between now and the end of the season, given where the squad is and given the lack of any real consistency in those areas that he takes up. But if you were to ask me now, like, do we want to put any sort of our budget into Fabio Silva on loan again, even next season, we're paying some of his wages, I reckon there's probably something else out there that might be a better fit.
No, definitely. I mean, whether it's fair or not, I expect a kind of Sima-esque level when a guy comes up from an EPL club. I'm not talking about, you know, a kid. That's a different thing. But a guy who's played and has gone for a bit of money, I'm expecting a Sima-esque addition to our season. And I'm not against, by the way, taking players on loan. It's the modern world. I love the idea that, oh, we should just play our own youngsters. Equally, we need to win trophies. And if a guy can come in for a year, I'll ask him and help us to do that, then do it. Right? You know, that's
absolutely. Yeah, it's where we are in football now, sadly. Yeah,
don't spend all your budget on it, but go and do it. I mean, well, even at the weekend, there were Wolves I was watching. They had a player on loan from Manchester City. So, you know, it happens all throughout the football pyramid. It's just a modern part of the game, but Silva has disappointed with an extraordinary miss. And then time for another wonder save by Jack Butland. The votes were in for Rangers Player of the Year, Colin. I voted for Jack Butland on the website, I must admit. Not trying to influence anyone else's vote, but I just think in terms of consistency right across the season, even when others haven't been playing well, he's been exceptional for us. And it was a brilliant save. And okay, right, Hearts were two down. There was only a couple of minutes left. I didn't fancy a couple of minutes shitting myself with Hearts launching the ball into the box. And you never know what could happen, especially given a week where we've all been talking about mentality and all the rest of it. I just wanted a nice, comfortable last couple of minutes, and his save ensured that that happened.
Yeah, it's exactly it. That's what he does. And to go back to your earlier point about Player of the Year, is there another Rangers player in that squad that you can think for the whole season you've not moaned about at least once? I can't really think of anybody. He is the only one, really, who hasn't put a foot wrong all season. He's shown up. He's made save after save after save, probably more saves than we thought he would have to make, more saves than we'd probably like from our Rangers goalkeeper, but he's done it. Every other game it's a wonder save with his feet, with his hands diving. He's just been an absolute revelation for us and continues that amazing record that guys of our age have, David, of Rangers goalkeepers throughout our whole lives, really, have pretty almost always been exceptional. He just continues that lineage. So yeah, hopefully he's another one that's not going anywhere in the summer. He's one of the guys you want to kind of build around rather than move on from.
Yeah, finance, I think, will dictate that. And, of course, if we get a good bid, because I've mentioned this before, if someone comes in with $6 million for Jack Butland, it ain't worth it to us. Right? Never. I mean, that's like, no thanks, because you still have to replace a keeper. It's only if it's a bit of a windfall that lets you spend on other players that then you consider it. But, you know, it would need to be serious heavy money for me before we even consider that. I'm not saying it won't happen or that it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying that, you know, if clubs think they can come in and get him on the cheap, then they can forget about that, because he's worth more to us in that sense than he would be. If you can get three quality players in with the money, that's a different thing. But if the vast majority will need to go in another goalkeeper, then it's pointless. So that takes us through. The other sort of main thing from the weekend, Colin, was Philippe Clement. saying that he expects a solution, his words, to John Lundstrom's contract situation. Said no further talks have taken place, but he expects that they will, says John loves it here and the club love him. I've gone back and forth on this, but my mind was made up on it against Benfica and Celtic, where for me, John Lundstrom just doesn't have the legs at that level. He just isn't mobile enough in those bigger games. He's fine domestically the vast majority of the time. Didn't think he was brilliant yesterday, but I don't think that for me, I would be investing a big chunk of money. And although he won't be on what he's on, he will still be on, you know, you're still talking million quid at least. That John Lundstrom will be looking for. And I'm just not sure that you put, you know, £1 million a year for the next 2 or 3 years into John Lundstrom. Or rather, I'll put it another way. I think we could spend that better. I also want to see us go a bit younger in there. You've seen the impact Diamandé has. I think it's a crucial area for us. And for me, I think we should be looking to move on.
Yeah, I totally agree. You mentioned that domestically he's fine. I would say, like, for the money that he's paid, he should be better than fine. And he should be one of the ones. Yeah, what's that?
That's not unreasonable.
Yeah, and he should be one of the guys that in the big games, the Benfica games, the Old Firm games, anything like that, he should be the standout guy. He should be the guy that takes the game by the kind of rough of the neck and gets us through and does things, and he hasn't done that. He was capable of it, and we'll always remember the performance against Dortmund and that sort of season where he was showing up in the big games and he was integral and he was key to them. It's never been the same since, and I would argue that at the age he is just now, if he gets that one kind of last main contract from us, he's not going to get better at this stage of his career, is he? If anything, he's going to start winding down. I saw he was looking for about €2 million a year to go to Turkey. I know he probably wouldn't be looking for that much to stay in the UK, and that's the kind of Turkey tax, isn't it? But just anything even close to that, even £1 million a year, I think it can be better spent. And it could also be better spent in something that we maybe perhaps are able to then sell on later on. Whereas John Lundstrom's got no sell-on value to us whatsoever.
So a big victory, obviously the cup final against Celtic. We can park for a few weeks. We've got league business to attend to. No more of the kind of midweek, or mostly no more of the midweek games. We do have one, but generally speaking, it's a week between the matches. So a wee bit of time this week to rest and recover. Where does this result leave us, Colin? Because for me, it was an awful week, horrendous week. We did have to end it well, and we did. You know, I didn't expect us to go out and win 5-0 and be brilliant. I thought that, you know, to recover from the week we had, that yesterday was probably about as much as we could have hoped for in terms of the way that we won the game and the performance that was put in. What do the players need to take from this now? Is it a case of saying, look, what happened happened, but we can't change that, it's done. Let's remember why we're in the position we're in, and push on from here and use it as a springboard, because I really feel that had we lost yesterday, the season would have just utterly collapsed.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. An easier answer to that question would be what would have happened if we hadn't done it yesterday, and that would be the end of the season. I think we don't recover from those 3 games in the space of a week with bad results. I just don't think the players recover from that. I don't think the fans recover properly from that. I don't think I recover from that, to be honest. So yeah, it was massively important yesterday. We want to forget the league for 1 second, but we want to win the Scottish Cup. So yesterday was huge for that alone, but it also showed that this team is capable of, in a big game, big match environment, something at stake, they can kind of pull themselves back up again, and they can get a result, and they can play better football, and they can show the potential to play even better football between now and the end of the season. You've got to think those other players that came in yesterday, they're going to continue to come in and contribute in the next 5 games or so, and just give them something to think about. They've got, what is it, five league games now and a cup final to think about, and they've got potential to win a treble. Now, are we going to win the treble? Looking at the league just now, we've made it difficult for ourselves, made it very, very difficult, but we've got a chance on the 22nd of April to win all 3 trophies. When was the last time we were able to say that?
Oh, yeah.
So if that's not enough to encourage somebody or motivate someone to go and just give it their all, then that's all we ask for, David. We wrote this season off months and months and months and months ago before the new manager even came in. It's credit to him that he's got us back in this position, got us the League Cup, got us to the final of the Scottish Cup, and got us still with a chance of winning the league. So, listen, it's not a disaster if we don't win this league. It's a disaster if we whimper out of this league and we don't go out fighting. That's the thing for me. Because this so far, everything so far this season has been a bonus compared to how it started. I just don't want this team to fall apart. I don't want them to let any sort of gaps appear. I want them just to fight until the end. And if they do that and they don't win, I'll be bitterly, bitterly, bitterly disappointed. But I'll know they gave it their all. And I think that's all we can ask for.
Right then, folks, thank you very, very much for joining us here today on Heart and Hand. If you want to hear more from Heart and Hand and go a lot more in depth on the various subjects we discussed today, then go to patreon.com/Heart and Hand, where you'll get up to 5 shows every single day on all things Rangers and a few other things as well. Colin, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
My thanks to our executive producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. My thanks to you all for listening. And we'll be back here next Monday, but there will be a couple of free shows before then. Martin's Dominant Series will drop on Wednesday, and Cammy will be here later in the week with Heart and Hand Extra. So until then, folks, enjoy your week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.